Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 762, and we're recording on Thursday morning, October 30th, 2025. My name is Martin Spriggs, and Wells Tech is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And joining me at that corner, as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. This Reformation week. So
it is.
This is on the corner of ministry intersections. And man, we had some amazing Reformation worship at my church this past Sunday.
Me too.
And just really enjoyed that. And I have a new second favorite Reformation hymn because you can't top the first favorite,
Mighty
which
Fortress.
Is the Mighty Fortress. I have a funny story about that too, but man, do I love this O Church Arise hymn from Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend.
We sang that too, I think.
Did you? Yeah. Man, it gets you fired up, and we need to be a militant Christian organization that gets out there with that great news that we have to share. So exciting times.
But once a month, we have more of a contemporary, I wouldn't call it a contemporary service, but you know, we've got guitar and drum and that kind of accompaniment. And that was interesting to hear those Reformation hymns set to that newer settings.
Okay.
With those instrumentals, which was, I think Luther would have liked it. I think he would have liked us taking that music and, you know, bringing it into the 21st century and enjoying it that way, like you mentioned.
Yeah, definitely one that's
heading. What's your Mighty Fortress story?
Oh, this one goes back to my Boys and Boy Pioneers days. And that was when we were in New Ulm. And Pastor Jeff Bove, who serves at St. John's in New Ulm, always tended to show up with his guitar at Boy Pioneer events. And so we're having a sing-along. And he's like, "What's your favorite hymn? Who wants to sing something? What do you want to sing?" And my oldest actually called out, "A Mighty Fortress," you know, that traditional campfire sing-along kind of song. And he's like, "Okay." But that's what we had been singing at home during our home worship and stuff and working on memorizing. And so we sang A Mighty Fortress, and Pastor Bove got to the end of the first verse, and he's like, "We can't stop there. We got to sing the second verse at least." So yeah, that always springs up in my memory, that
good old campfire
song.
Campfire song, A Mighty Fortress. Luther would have liked that too.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. We are continuing kind of our theme for the year, and that is kind of a focus on AI and ministry. And there's so many things that we could talk about, and there's always something new. So plenty of food for thought. But we're going to talk a little bit today. Not a lot, but just a sneak peek at some of the results of a survey that we took from the Wells AI Task Force. Many of our listeners probably saw or even participated in this survey. It was sent to all call workers, and they were encouraged to pass it along to church leaders, anybody involved with AI in their circles. We got, where's my number, almost 1,300 respondents, which is awesome. That is a great response. And wanted to share a little bit about some of the insights and just some little bit of the raw data, but we're still, as a task force, still working through that. So we're not ready to say this is what it all means, but I think it's a good barometer of what's going on out there. And that was kind of the intent of the survey, is to try and figure out AI's place and usage across different use cases. So whether you're a pastor, teacher, staff minister, administrative assistant, congregational leader. What's AI doing for you these days? And what do you think about it? So those were some of the questions that we asked. So I've got the survey in front of me, and I'll just run through some of the questions, and then we can talk a little bit about the responses. So those of you that didn't take the survey, so we asked about your ministry role, so we got a sense for who we were dealing with and in what context, whether you're serving a congregation or school or whatever. Then we talked about your current use of AI tools, and we kind of broke it down by regular use, experimenting, but don't use it consistently, aware, but haven't tried, unfamiliar with, intentionally avoiding using AI. Then we had a section for your current use cases, and we got all kinds of feedback there, how you're currently using AI for ministry, all kinds of things. Then we had a whole section on ethical concerns. What concerns do you have about AI in ministry? All the way from I don't have any concerns to, plagiarism and AI-generated content replacing authentic work, accuracy and theological integrity of outputs, loss of human connection, all those kinds of things, dependence on AI instead of God-given discernment. So we had a lot of responses kind of all over the board with that one. Training and resources, what training or resources would you find helpful? And that was one of the primary objectives of the task force is to figure out, are there things we could and should be producing that might help you, whether you're a pastor or teacher? Why do you turn to AI? What reasons do you have? And then maybe even some role-specific questions we had in there. So if you're a pastor, are you using it for sermon research, illustrations, Bible study prep? And then, teachers would have, we had questions on lesson planning and feedback for students in classroom pedagogy, extracurricular activities, student tutoring, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, we had just some general questions. What are your greatest hopes or concerns as we explore AI's place and purpose in ministry? And then we asked for people to let us know if there are some trusted subject matter experts in their world that they can refer to us so that we can begin to build a cadre of expertise. So that was the survey questions. What did we find? Well, I think one of the key takeaways and one of the maybe easier ones to kind of figure out from the responses is who's using it regularly, who's experimenting, and who hasn't tried it. And really what we found is that educators in general showed a higher regular use of AI. Along with professors and staff ministers, interestingly enough. But pastors were on the lower end. So there were not a statistically insignificant number that hadn't ever even tried it on the pastoral side, but not so on the teacher, professor, staff minister side. So that was kind of interesting. And there was kind of an initial hesitancy from pastors, I think, just kind of figuring out, should I, kind of asking the question, should I be using this in my day-to-day task? So I think that was an interesting takeaway.
So I guess that kind of lends itself well to a lot of our AI discussions being focused on education. I think right out of the gate, it was maybe easier for people to see ways that it could be used in a classroom setting or to augment the teacher's preparations and, monitoring of classrooms and things like that. Whereas there hasn't been as much produced that nails ways that pastors could use it, maybe.
Right. Other than maybe pastors who are in educational
That's what I
settings,
was going
let's
to
say,
say, like our
right?
catechism class prep or whatever it might be.
Even Bible class, I think, for
Sure.
that reason. I use AI. We run a small group Bible study program, and one of our pastors does kind of the theological document, and then I take that and run that through AI for some suggestions for warm-up questions and dive deeper types of questions. And it does a nice job of presenting some options for that. So that kind of usage, I think, is probably where it sits. One of the questions talked about primary use cases and tools. And I think in the educational space, teachers, professors, those types, some of the most common responses were lesson planning, outlines, activities, rubrics, assessment design. We've talked about that with Rachel and Jason many times, quizzes, tests, grading, rubrics. In fact, my graduate course I teach for MLC, I was never taught how to write a rubric, and I found, with a lot of research and the help of AI, that, there's some great resources out there to help you do that, given, if you've got to write your material right, of course, but then the rubrics are a little bit easier, I found, to write from with the help of AI than from scratch, certainly with my background too. Differentiation of content, so ESL or special needs students. Curriculum work, I found that interesting, which makes a lot of sense. That's a really deep dive. And so I think that this is probably a very good use case for educational folks. And then some of the tools they're using: Magic School AI, Canva AI, quiz generators, Grammarly, were some of the most often referenced tools. So, although I think all that's kind of helpful to know as we begin to kind of figure out what kind of resources might be out there.
Did you see a huge difference between teachers and staff ministers? I guess you said staff ministers
Well, the
were up
staff
there with the adopter.
ministers, the number of staff ministers that responded, of course, are much, much lower. So the sample size is not as, I wouldn't say as credible. It's not quite as useful as the larger number of teachers that responded. So it's kind of difficult. And, our staff ministers are all over the board. Some are in the
So
educational
talented.
space, some are in the pastoral ministry space, music. I mean, they're all over the board. So it's really hard to get a handle on what a staff minister is because they fill so many different roles. They're definitely, very diverse. On the congregation pastoral ministry side, there was a focus on what I would call content refinement. So taking content that's already been written, but then running it through AI for, like grammar checking and, wordsmithing, those kinds of things. So there's definitely, I would say Grammarly's probably a candidate there, but also sentence structure and maybe looking for gaps or appropriateness for an audience type. I think AI is pretty good at that. Communication was a big piece of what our congregation slash pastoral ministry types responded with. So vetting an email or improving an email or a newsletter article or some kind of communication to a congregation. A little less so on sermon prep and editing, mostly in the areas of illustration, flow, a number of them reference conciseness, how to get my 10 pager down to an 8 pager. Drafting communications. Graphic design was mentioned a number of times. So worship folders and social media development. AI has really found, I think, a sweet spot for a lot of people with social media creation. I was just watching a video last night, I guess, on Gemini's new tools or Google's new tools. I don't know if it's Gemini. Well, it's backed by Gemini, of course. You're taking content or a video, or any kind of content, and it can generate a social media campaign, basically. You point it at your website and it'll pick up your brand, your logo, your color scheme, your tone, images from it, and build social media posts for events and those kinds of things. Pretty cool. Some of the tools that they talked about using: ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, Grammarly and Canva AI, some of the usual suspects.
Good tools. Yeah, I was wondering if anything new was going to fall out of it, but definitely tools that can tackle that editing and communication side for sure.
On the administrative side slash leadership side, they really were all over the board. Document creation, policies, job descriptions, transcribing meeting notes. We've talked about all these before. Data analysis, financial planning, transcribing sermon notes. That's a great use case. So if you are responsible and your pastor doesn't preach from a manuscript, but you can take that YouTube video, or you can take the audio, run it through AI, and you've got the sermon and the sermon notes, or to repurpose the sermon notes into bite-sized, more social media type things, or blog posts, or other syndicated content, I'd call it, for Bible study class material, those kinds of things. So those things make a lot of sense there.
So I guess interesting use cases and everything. What about the opposite side of the spectrum? Where were there major concerns, or did anything fall out in
For
that
sure.
regard?
Accuracy, theological integrity. So there were that was rated as the highest concern among lay members, interestingly enough, and pastors. So accuracy or theological integrity, 66% overall, but for lay members and pastors, 75 and 74%. These roles, I just did a quick AI analysis of the surveys,
I
and
was going to ask that.
AI wrote these roles are deeply invested in teaching and maintaining sound doctrine. Speaking of, lay members and pastors, pastors note AI often gives doctrinal answers opposite to the correct one.
Yikes.
Kind of depends. Yeah, I think depends on the tool. AI generate another concern category. AI generated content replacing authentic spiritual work, so shortcutting the theological study and the results of that. So the concerns over the sanctity and authenticity of spiritual tasks like preaching and writing devotions. And then, of course, on the teacher side, that was 75% of pastors noted that. And then on the teacher side, you could guess plagiarism, intellectual property issues. So 66% of teachers, 69% of professors concerned with academic honesty and student use of AI in assignments. And again, we've talked about that with Jason and Rachel too. And then another one that came up quite a bit was the loss of human connection. 50% noted that, 56% of pastors did. Reflects the relational emphasis of pastoral ministry. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Important factors to be concerned about, rightly concerned about, and addressing, hopefully, as we progress down this path of AI development and usage. So.
And maybe the last category of interest for the survey is desired training resources. What do you need help with? And this was helpful to the task force, especially. A lot of people wanted examples of appropriate ministry use cases. So they knew kind of what AI could do, but not what it could do for them. And I think how we're marrying, and this is very germane to our podcast, where does AI meet ministry? Where is the intersection was important to them. So, and that makes sense. They've heard good things about it, bad things about it, but they want to know, well, how does this help me? And how does this help our ministry? So, in that same space, so it was examples of appropriate ministry use, workshops, webinars, examples of appropriate ministry use cases. I'm just reading through a couple of the random notes here. Pastors specifically showed a higher need for well-specific guidelines for ethical boundaries. 41% referenced that. Teachers showed a higher interest in training formats, workshops, webinars, how-to videos. Interestingly, professors and staff ministers were significantly more likely to feel equipped already compared to pastors and teachers. And maybe that's because it's a narrower focus that they might have. So that's also interesting. So it's all about what your day-to-day responsibilities are. So very, very enlightening.
In general, none of those numbers were super high numbers, I would guess, as far as feeling equipped or whatever. Everybody feels like they need help with this moral and ethical issues. Everybody feels like they need help just understanding ministry uses and proper ministry uses. It seems like there's lots of room for growth there. Not that there's overwhelming. Yeah, I know everything there is to know because I think a general population survey would still say there's so much more to learn.
Yeah. I would say, just looking at the raw numbers, our professors across the synod use AI the most regularly, almost 38%, as compared to, let's say, a teacher, 30%, pastors, 23%. So it's still relatively
Lots of
low. A
room for
lot of them
growth.
experimenting, but again, I already talked about the aware, but even haven't even really tried it. That number's fairly high for pastors, but lower for teachers. So,
So you alluded to my one burning question, and that was how quickly did it take, how long did it take you to take the survey results and feed them to an AI? How quick was
I had a lot of help
that?
because Alicia, my daughter, who's also on the
Sure,
task
she
force,
spoke to
is.
that.
We talked to her about survey research, and that's her specialty. So she did a lot of the heavy lifting. She put together a crosstab report and some sentiment analysis and some of the tools she uses. She uses AI a lot. So she got the data in pretty decent shape. What I did with it then is fed it into Notebook LM. So it was only working with that data. Also fed it some of the data and research that the task force has already done, and their experiences, threw that all in there, and then asked some very specific questions. So one of the things that I won't share here, but I'll share with the task force the next time we meet, is I asked Notebook LM, take all this and compare it to the task force's charter, that why we said we were here, what we said we were going to do, and what our priorities were, and rank our priorities based on these survey results. And that was very interesting. And I think it did a pretty credible job of highlighting and giving justification, not just ranking them, but giving justification why you ought to spend more time in this area other than in that area. And two of the things that it, without getting too specific, two of the things that it ranked near the top would be this ethical framework, which we're already working on, and then the use cases. How do we connect AI to specific use cases for pastors, teachers, staff, ministers, church leaders? So, kind of validated where we thought we were headed, but it gave us a little more context and a little bit more direction. So, it was certainly time well spent.
That's awesome. Well, we will be looking for more news from your AI task force because I'm guessing it's changing all the time,
It is.
and the things that you guys are working towards and producing. So we're excited to be following along the news from there.
Yep, and we'll be putting out some more public stuff shortly. We just didn't really have a lot to share yet, but now with these results and some of the things that we want to get out in front of people, you can expect to hear more from us. Very smart people on that task force. I'm just kind of herding the smart people into the appropriate directions, but they're doing a lot of the heavy thinking. So
So you didn't
good
call them
stuff.
cats or sheep. You're not herding
No, no,
cats or
no, no.
sheep.
No, that's not that model. So that's kind of what we learned from the survey. And thanks to everybody who took it. I really appreciate your feedback. It didn't take that long, but it was still super useful to us.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing.
Should we move on, Sally?
I think it's time to head into our ministry resource
Go
section,
for
and
it.
timing is right for that. I'll just do a quick screen share. Many of you are familiar with the fact that Wells has a Google Calendar version of our lectionary available. So the lectionary is part of our hymnal. You can find it in the front of the hymnal, and it basically lists different readings for each Sunday of the church year. It has a prayer of the day, it has a psalm of the day, and a hymn of the day included in the lectionary. And we've done this for many years, Martin, where those things are available through this Google Calendar format, which is really nice for people that want to subscribe to the calendar and just have it integrated with their calendar. Maybe you share it with your worship planning committee or whatever, so that everybody's on the same page with what the focus of the day is from the perspective of the readings and things. And if you follow that lectionary on Google Calendar, you may be a bit concerned as we approach the month of November when the church year ends and a new church year begins. But no need to be concerned, because one of our superheroes working at the CMM is on top of that, because 3 more years of Google Calendar lectionary is now available, beginning with November 30th, the first Sunday in Advent, and moving through the next 3-year series of readings and other related worship information that's available through the Google Calendar. So we have that available not only for the Christian Worship 2021 hymnal, but also for the Christian Worship 1993 hymnal, because some congregations have not transitioned to the 2021 hymnal. They'll still be able to access the lectionary for the next 3 years, using the 93 hymnal readings and psalms of the day and that kind of thing. So, thank you. Shout out to our friend Sarah Krause, who's just an extraordinary guru at this kind of thing, and has made the updates needed for both of those Google calendars. No worries for those that are subscribed. The work continues into the next church year. So, just wanted to throw those links into our show notes again to remind people that they're available out there. If you aren't subscribed, it's a great thing to click on. There's a little Google Calendar button that you can click on, and it'll integrate right into your own personal Google
Yeah,
Calendar.
very popular. When it's not working or not up to date,
We
you get
know
a
how
couple
popular.
notices. Yes.
For sure.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
Yeah. Again, I'll do a quick screen share. My pick of the week has to do with an upcoming event. And we've talked about this for several years on the podcast, that there's an Hour of Code event, typically the first full week of December. And the concept behind Hour of Code is that you would at least spend 1 hour doing some kind of coding project with students, even as adults. Everyone just spend an hour focused on learning a little bit about how code works. And now, from the Hour of Code people, which kind of their umbrella organization is called CS for All, or Computer Science for All, there's an Hour of AI initiative. And so this year, they're beginning a new initiative introducing the Hour of AI and providing information for students as well as adults to learn more about AI and try an AI activity. And it can be a lot of fun. And they have all kinds of them out here. You can do a dance party with AI. You can do AI for Oceans. You can have a music lab. They have it organized by age categories and by topics. So if you are interested in art and media or computer science or self-led tutorials, whatever it may be, they are preparing this. And at the same time, they still have Hour of Code activities available out there, and that's quite robust. So has grown over many years of doing the Hour of Code. So you can do the Hour of AI activities for your event, or you can do it as an Hour of Code. And this is just getting started as of November 12th, is when they feel like their big launch day is. So you can see expect to see this grow over the next couple of weeks. And the hour of code activities are still there as well. Just wanted to make you aware that there's now an hour of AI and lots of things and promotional activities and things that you can do around that, where you can host your own events and take part in the Hour of AI initiative. So that's what I've got.
Very good. Love it. And that is November. You mentioned it, November
Well, it
12th.
says it launches on November 12th. The Hour of Code activities are typically in December.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, I think you could schedule it anytime in the fourth quarter and have
Okay.
plenty of fun things to do for one
Awesome.
hour in your classroom or with a group. Maybe you want to host an event at your church and let people have a little discussion about AI and try some AI things. Doesn't have to just be student aged.
Nice. Good. Thanks for sharing, Sally. All right. I'm going to keep that AI theme with my pick of the week. I subscribe to a newsletter, which I really enjoy, from Jeff Su. He's a former Googler. So a lot of his stuff is about Google Gemini and Google Workspace and a lot of the productivity tools. He did a lot of Google training when he was there. He's kind of on his own now, but he has this email newsletter, and I put the content in a Google Doc, which I think we can share because I've got a subscribe link. You probably appreciate, the visibility. And if you do enjoy what I'm going to share, I'd encourage you to subscribe. But he calls this newsletter article "The Prompt That Organizes Your Chaos." So he talks about sometimes you are noting or kind of documenting an idea. A could be an idea for sermon Bible study, could be an idea for a extracurricular activity, could be a personal thing, a exercise plan. You want to jot down notes before you visit your doctor, or the example he uses is before visiting a physical therapist, your raw notes might look like, and then he gives an example of the things he jotted down. Some of the things he probably thought of in the shower, and he just jumped out and wrote these all down. So it's kind of a mess. There's no structure to them. There's no cadence, or they're not in any particular order. So what he set out to do is help ask AI to help kind of make sense of all this. So he wrote a prompt to take unstructured, very all over the place data or notes, and this could be for meeting notes or whatever too, and make some sense of it. And this prompt is for that. So I'm going to read a couple. I'm going to actually read the prompt here. It's not great radio, but I think it'll be helpful because you'll kind of understand the thinking behind this prompt writing. It's in two steps. Step one, it organizes the raw thoughts into kind of a logical outline without changing anything. So AI has a tendency to kind of want to spruce things up. So in step one, you're saying just organize it, don't change it. And then if there's something that's unclear, note it for me. And then step two, so it's a two-step prompt, and you're asking AI to do it in two steps. Take that organized outline and generate a concise summary with clear action items, takeaways, and follow-up questions. So I thought that was kind of a unique, novel approach. So this is, and we'll put the link to this, and you can actually cut and paste this prompt right into your favorite AI. So it's kind of it's really just kind of again, the intent is to take a brain dump and make sense of it. So this is the prompt. First, perform task one, then perform the output of task one as the input for task two. So you're telling your AI to do it in two steps. Task one, organize and structure the raw text. Your objective, so he's giving the AI an objective right away, is to take the provided raw text and organize it into a coherent, logical outline. And then he gives it a bunch of rules. Preserve original content. So keep the original voice, tone, specific phrasing exactly as it is. So it doesn't want you to don't rewrite my stuff. Do not edit or add. So you're not adding sentences, rewriting sentences, interpreting things, adding your own ideas or new ideas. This is he says your role is purely structural. So he's very specific to the AI. Impose order, group related points together, sequence topics in a logical flow, use formatting, headings, nested bullets for a clearer hierarchy. Flag ambiguity, which I thought was interesting. So it's not saying make it unambiguous, but flag it as unclear. So you are now notified that the AI was unclear on this particular point. And then the result of step one is a clean, well-structured outline of the original content, not a new draft. And then you go to task two, create a professional summary. So after completing task one, analyze the outline you created and output the task with the following format: main topics, list the primary themes or categories, summary of discussion and decisions, main topics, so you're taking the key points, key takeaways, action items, who there should be assigned to, the deadlines, etc., if there are any. And then follow-up actions, bullet list of unresolved questions that need answers, bullet list of suggested next steps or items to be addressed in the future. And then it says, now process the following raw brain dump according to the two tasks outlined above. And then here's the raw dump, and then you cut and paste your stuff there. I thought that was really cool, and I've tried it a few times, and it is, it's pretty awesome. So you're always looking for good prompts, and this is one that takes that, you know, that just raw whatever, and sometimes my meeting notes look like that too, and make sense of them, but in a make sense way. So you're saying organize the mess to begin with and then analyze the mess, and I think you get much better results. So that is my tip of the week. Sorry for the long-winded explanation, but I think that was worth sharing.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess one thing it demonstrates to me, and one thing that I kind of struggle with a little with AI, is that you're to give it all of those instructions and the raw dump all in one conversation blurb, or however you want to describe
that. One prompt.
That's the word. And so to me, my brain doesn't necessarily organize things that way. I might type something and hit enter and want to add more.
I forgot to ask this.
Exactly. And so this is part of that becoming a lot more intelligent about how you ask things. I think that's a very good demonstration of do your homework outside of that prompt blurb area, get it all taken care of, and then feed it to the AI rather than trying to string things out and make sense of it. It seems to go off track when you do that in a different fashion.
And you're too scattered. Yeah, I think there are a lot of studies that show that giving an AI smaller bits of information and then building on those bits, it does a lot better. So making it think in terms of steps, do this first, and then don't do the next one until you've done the first one, and then do the next one, you get better results. And this is an example of that. So,
And telling that all in one prompt rather than, you know, I can't say don't do the next one in the next prompt. I have to say it at once. Yeah.
So it's an art. It definitely is an art and a science. So. That we'll put the link to the Google Doc in the show notes here.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
Let's move on to our community news and feedback segment.
Yeah, we heard from Jeff Salzwedel, who is a member at Christ. I want to say it's somewhere up in the Twin Cities area here in Minnesota. I'll have to look up exactly where it is. Eden Prairie. So he says he created a chat GPT specific for his local congregation, but he ended up with something that could be easily adapted for any other Wells church or Wells in general. And he wrote this, by the way, to our Wells Tech Google group. So he was kind of inviting people to try it out. He says he created a GPT that's designed to limit its sources to the theological questions from the WLS Online Library, and the Q&A from wells.net. So WLS meaning Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and they have a whole repository of essays and things, which I'm guessing that's what he's referring to. He also included his congregation's website so that it could answer questions about their service times and such things as that. And you'll see in a moment that he has kind of blurbage at the end that directs them to their pastor with questions and such. So he shared that link in the WellsTech group, and he says you need a free account to try it out. And he's been using ChatGPT 5, the most recent version. And your experiences might vary depending on which version of ChatGPT you use. So he was looking for feedback if anybody was willing to try it out and just to kind of get the idea out there. And I thought it was exciting, and I was ready to give it a try. So I'm going to do. Attempt to do a quick screen share and share my results since it's Reformation Week, as we talked about earlier in the podcast. I asked, what is the Reformation about? Why do Lutherans celebrate it? And what are some traditional Reformation hymns? And it came back with, that's a wonderful question and very
Of
fitting for
course it
this
is,
time of
yes.
year. And it explained about the Reformation and how it began with Martin Luther and returning the Christian church to the truth of salvation by grace through faith in Christ, based on scripture alone. And he posted his 95 thesis, and the Lutheran church basically kind of emerged out of this, rooted in those principles, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone.
Got that
And
all right. Yep.
yeah, it's looking pretty good. Why Lutherans celebrate it. Around October 31st, or the nearest Sunday, joyful reminder of God's faithfulness in preserving his pure word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about Martin Luther as a person, but about the gospel being rediscovered and proclaimed clearly again. The Wells website, or Wells, describes it as a time to thank God for restoring the truth of his word and to recommit ourselves to standing firmly in that word. And then the last question I'd asked was traditional Reformation hymns, and there it is, right up there at number one.
Oh, look at it. Gave two hymnal versions,
Oh,
Christian worship and Lutheran worship.
how about that? A mighty fortress is our God. And then, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. God's word is our great heritage, and salvation unto us has come. And it even offered to share lyrics or background stories for those hymns, which I think is really cool. And then, as I said, at the bottom, it has kind of a disclaimer. Information is drawn from Wells resources, wells.net, and other confessional Lutheran materials. We strive for accuracy. Note that this summary was generated by ChatGPT and may occasionally contain errors. For more details or local Reformation service information, so they kind of plugged into this standard blurbage a little bit about what I was asking, Reformation service information.
Now that's interesting. I
Yeah.
wonder if they put that in there or whether the AI put that in
Yeah, I
there.
don't know. I don't know, but you would think it might be AI integrated. I don't know.
Is it
Otherwise,
that
he's got to come
smart?
back and
Right?
change it to the
Every
different
season, right?
season. Anyway, contact information for their pastor. And a link to their church website. And again, his idea was this could be customized for whatever church website. I wonder, I'm just gonna try pasting this link one more time. I'm not sure if it changed the link once I asked the question, but I just wanted to show you what the screen looked like when I first landed on it. It does show, I'm sorry, I said Jeff, it's Mark Salzwedel, that the chatbot for Christ Lutheran Church in Eden Prairie, able to answer basic questions about the congregation as well as theological questions grounded in Wells slash Lutheran theology. And he gives
Okay.
some
So he
examples.
must have he plugged in his own congregational data too. Okay.
And there's examples here. Why do you baptize babies? What time are your services? What does the Bible say about the end times? Am I allowed to join in the Lord's Supper at Christ Lutheran? And so I think it's a pretty friendly opening screen that kind of teases you with some good questions and ideas for ways that you can interact with the GPT. So again, I'll include a link in the show notes, but you do need a regular OpenAI Chat GPT account in order to access it. And so when I tried to access it, I went to the link and it prompted me to log in. And then when I got logged in, it didn't land me on their page. I had to then paste the link
Find it,
after I was
right?
logged in to
I
get to
gotcha.
this page that I'm showing on the screen. But I think it's a great example of how GPTs can be directed to their sources and not just wide open to the World Wide Web, and come up with something pretty wonderful to use from a church perspective.
On a side note, Notebook LM is now offering that public linking too, which is pretty cool. So if you have a resource set that you want to share, you can do it via Notebook LM now too. So,
Very good.
all right, we got anything else, community news and feedback wise?
Yeah, I wanted to make one more mention again of a newsletter. You talked about a newsletter in your pick of the week, Martin. This is a newsletter that I've subscribed to recently. And I'm going to make sure I'm sharing the correct screen. It is called There's an AI for That. So it goes by the initials TAAFT. I've heard there's an app for
App for
that.
that.
Now there's
This
an
is the
AI for that.
next gen.
Yeah. And I've found it to be a very quick read, but pretty impressive, just to give you a broad perspective of all the different AI news that's going on right now. And they explain that at the beginning. They say that it's the number one AI newsletter in the world. And then they actually have a bit of AI history going all the way back to 1 year ago
Right.
on this
This day
day
in
last year.
2024, yes.
This is what happened. Some breaking news, just really quick blurbage if you're interested in any of the things that they're bringing to you up front. They do have a sponsor and explain some about what their sponsors' tools do. AI tools of the
Oh,
day,
Whisper
Martin.
Flows on there. That was my pick a few weeks
Exactly.
ago.
I recognize that one. And like I said, they're kind of all over the place. Automate your daily workflows, mispriced prediction market opportunities, weekly picks for full reasoning and public performance tracking. I mean, they're just everywhere. And that's what's cool about, kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of things through this newsletter, is just seeing all the different areas that are, growing in AI. Open source AI finds, mind-blowing AI. This one I played with a little bit. It's called Odyssey and it makes AI videos. So we're seeing more and more AI video creation tools coming out. The cool thing about this one is that you can type into the video as it's rendering and change the video. So you might give it a prompt to create a video of llamas wearing crazy Christmas sweaters or whatever it might be. And then you can type into it, I did this, and make the llama dance. And you can type into it and bring in some balloons to decorate the area. And it gets kind of weird at times, especially with llamas. Maybe it won't with other prompts, but you literally have control of the video in real time to make changes to it. So again, I'm not going to do anything with Odyssey. I don't have a need to change videos in real time, but seeing the
Apparently, you did.
development, well, yeah, except for llamas at Christmas sweaters, seeing the development, that's happening day by day as the newsletter is released is pretty cool. Again, notable AIs listed here, Beyond the Feed. This one I thought was interesting. LinkedIn is now going to scrape your data and feed it to AI, but you can opt out if you do it by November 3rd. So there's still time. If you're interested, you can Google that or whatever and come up with how to opt out of getting scraped from LinkedIn. Excuse me. And then finally, they save it for the end because they want you to scroll all the way down. There's a prompt of the day. This one's kind of sci-fi almost, where exploring your brain and building geography of your of ideas and patterns and perceptions and things. But I've seen a real variety of prompts here, and it's kind of like the prompt that Martin just shared. They can get really lengthy, and so they post it out there where you can go and copy the prompt. And some of them have been really helpful as I've used them over time and stuff. So I just thought it was a well put together newsletter. There's an AI for that. They have swag that you can buy if you're interested, and they publish once a day, I think just on weekdays. But I'll have a link in the show notes where you can subscribe if you're interested in there's an AI for that.
Cool. Who's the author? Who's behind this?
I don't know the answer to that, but I believe I found the link off of the newsletter that you mentioned earlier from Sue. So I'm not really sure who's behind it. I haven't dug that deep.
Okay.
So
Pretty cool. I like it.
yeah.
And it comes right into your inbox. AI newsletters are a thing now. I mean, they used to be really, not the thing. And now with the tools that you have to kind of synthesize them and subscribe and unsubscribe and kind of categorize, summarize, there I think they're making a comeback. So pretty cool.
Cool.
All right, Sally, great show. Very AI heavy, but I think hopefully some useful stuff there for our listeners. We are going to next time we meet have another interview. We've been doing some interviews with people who are speaking at the Lutheran Leadership Conference, which is coming up in November or in
In
January.
January.
We should put a plug in for that. That the early bird pricing, I believe, ends
I
mid-November.
think the 15th.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I'll look it up.
mid-November. So go to LutheranLeadership.com, I think it is, and sign up there. I think there's going to be something there for everybody. We've talked to two presenters already, and this will be a third. We're going to talk to John Rachi about strategic planning, which I think is definitely a topic that leadership would be interested in. I'll be speaking there as well, and it's going to be a big old Wells party there. And it's not limited to Wells people, of course, but I think just looking at the presenters, the keynotes, this will be a good, what is it, 2 or 3 days spent there. So please take, and the price is actually pretty good. And the hotel price, we've negotiated a pretty low one. So I think it's not as expensive as you might think. So that's what we're going to
Yeah.
talk about in a couple of weeks. So.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. We got something out of the show. Bring a friend next time, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.